I believe it was last week, the 5th annual Mark Spector Golf Classic up in Edmonton, raising funds for Sports Central, which is the long time and where really the idea for Commerce Sports Equipment Bank down in Calgary was stolen. But Mark, holding his 5th event, which was sold out and coming in, had raised over $568,000. So, Mr. Spector, as you join us, can you give us a total in your 5 tournaments overall? How much have you raised for Sports Central up in Edmonton?
Well, I think we put about 150 on that total last Wednesday, my friend. So, yeah, we were very fortunate. Beautiful weather, generous people, a cause that people can gather around. And, you know, you put all those things together, it's like a good hockey team, right? You get all the right elements and maybe you win some games, huh?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you this, dude. we all know how hard it is these days and, you know, to raise funds, but to raise meaningful funds, for you to raise that much, $700,000 in 5 years is incredible for such a great cause and such a noble cause. But still, that's incredible, Mark.
Yeah, well, thanks very much. And, you know, we actually, we every once in a while, you know, I know you're involved with the Calgary Equipment Bank in Calgary, and every once in a while, you feel like you get a win every time you send a kid out of there that couldn't afford equipment or his parents couldn't afford it, and you set them up right, and they leave with a smile. But we got a story up in Edmonton. Everyone's heard now of Alphonso Davies,
yep,
the Whitecaps player who's, of course, playing for Bayern Munich now. Well, that kid came, he was born in a what's the camp? Not an internment camp. But
no, but
a refugee camp.
Yeah.
In Liberia. Comes to Edmonton, of all places. How you end up coming to Edmonton from there, I don't know. But away his parents come, they go to Windsor, they come to Edmonton, right? Now he's 10 years old. His parents, of course, are immigrants. They don't have money to spare. So they bring him and his brother into Sports Central for new bikes, for used bikes. And we set him up with bikes and helmets and throw a couple soccer balls at him because that's what we do. We got so many. And, you know, the confidence that a kid gets, because now he's just like his friends, right? He can ride to practice. He can join we've got something up here called Free Footy for kids that can't afford registration. This is another organization. So he joins them. He's got some transportation. He's got a little confidence. He feels like he belongs. And we're not taking credit for Alphonso Davies. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, you give a kid a little nudge in the right direction when he's 9, 10 years old. And,
yep.
Who knows where it can go, and look how far that kid went, huh?
Well, that's the key. To me, that's the key, because the demographics and the age groups that are being helped out are where it's most important, because you don't know. You know, you spark something, you include, and there's nothing more inclusive at its heart and its roots than sports, right?
Sure. We learn, you know, I grew up, I mean, I hope I haven't told the story on your station, but when I was a kid, I played baseball and hockey like every other kid. And in hockey, I was like the 6th, 7th defenseman that blocked shots and stayed at home. And I learned what it was like that the last 2 minutes of a game where we needed a goal, they'd put the guys out who scored, and I wasn't one of them. And I learned to be a support player. And I learned all the elements that come with supporting your teammates and knowing when it's your time to, you know, to play and not to play. And then I played baseball in the summer, and I was a pretty good pitcher as a kid. And I pitched like in a couple city finals. They'd start me. And I learned there that, you know, now this is how you be a leader. And when a kid makes a mistake behind you, how do you treat that kid? You learn all those things in sports so that when you get into real life and you get a real job, you know, you're a better guy to have on the team, right? You learn all those lessons about how to treat people and how to win gracefully and how to lose gracefully. And if you don't have sports,
yep,
you never learn that stuff, Rob. And we take it for granted, but believe me, there's a lot of kids who need that chance, right, to experience those wins and losses and scrape your knee and all those things we all did. Some kids don't get to do that.
And I want to take this opportunity to point out that at Commerce, we've had a real run on hockey gloves here, some smaller sizes, I think 9 to 14. We were looking for them.
Okay.
Sports Central reached out and are sending us some to kind of bring up our stocks. So I can't thank Sports Central enough, so... You know, you're associated with the right people.
I'm sure the folks in Calgary are hearing that, and I'll bet you get a whole bunch of...
Oh, I hope so. Yeah. I hope so. But in the meantime, we got some support, which is fantastic.
Awesome.
Some hockey news. First of all, I want to ask you about where you are and what you're doing, but I do need you to react to a rare early August trade in the National Hockey League with Jeff Skinner going to the Buffalo Sabres for prospect Cliff Poux and 3 draft picks.
Yeah, I think we were all surprised it took this long to trade Jeff Skinner. I think it was a very soft market for Jeff Skinner. He's a pending UFA, I believe, after this season. Is
yep,
that correct?
That's correct, yep.
And a guy whose game's deteriorated a little bit, and a fella who's, unfortunately for him, has had some concussion issues. But you never know, Rob. The big wild card in the league right now is the Carolina Hurricanes, right? Like, what are they? What is their end game? Are they trying to win games? Are they trying to save money? You know, did they accept, I'm going to say, a sort of second-tier prospect and a bunch of draft picks because they didn't want any salary back? Or is that what the market dictated for them, Rob? That I don't know. I'm not in on those conversations. But I'm not saying that I trust the motives completely of the Carolina Hurricanes. I have a feeling that, you know, cutting the expense side of the ledger is very important there, and that likely had some bearing on the return on this deal. Is that fair?
Yeah, I think it's very fair. And as a matter of fact, it just leads to more questions, right? That's what it leads to. Why and how? Is there something else to come? And part of me looks and goes, why Buffalo? You know, how does I think this helps Buffalo. I was just looking at the roster a little while ago, and I think he can play on your top line. You're right. He's, you know, last year was a little off for him, but, you know, the possibility of playing with Jack Eichel or maybe Sam Reinhart, you know, should be beneficial to the young man. Is this one, do you think, Mark, that we'll see some other general managers or other teams in the next couple of days kind of whispers of, geez, I didn't know he was available. I could have done better than that?
No. Everyone know. I mean, everyone knew he was available.
Yeah.
Now, there may be some general managers who say to themselves, man, if I knew that was the price, you know, a bunch of draft picks, that none of them being a first, I would have tried harder to make the deal.
Mm-hmm.
But no, if I'll tell you right now, the first general manager I hear say he didn't know Jeff Skinner was available is a general manager that isn't getting a job done, because I'm a sports writer, and I knew he was available, Rob.
Yeah. Yeah, it just, you know, it reminds me, though, the returns, right? And that seemed to be, not so much in the social media live-by-the-moment age, but it used to be a decade ago or so, every once in a while there'd be a trade, and the next day the GM's, geez, if I'd only known, I could have done better than that.
Yeah,
right?
No, that's true. You know? Well, listen, he was a Calder Trophy winner.
Yep.
You know, this was a guy that I believe that was Taylor Hall. It's kind of, there's some irony for you. I believe it was in Taylor Hall's rookie year that Jeff Skinner won the Calder. And now he's getting traded in the year that Taylor Hall wins the Hart. Isn't that full circle?
Yeah, it really is. Mark Spector from Sportsnet, our guest, joining us down the guest hotline from Grey Eagle Resort and Casino. Let's stay in the NHL. We'll come to the juniors in a second. But the Flames place Troy Brouwer on waivers today for the purposes of buying him out. Not surprised by the move, but surprised by the move, because this is a team that doesn't like to do that, doesn't like the buyout route that much.
Well, listen, I'll go back. I first started watching Troy Brouwer play when he was a Blackhawk, winning mm-hmm. that first cup in, was that 2010 that they won their first cup?
Yep.
Not mistaken. And, you know, in those battles against the Canucks, he was such a valuable guy. And then he ended up in St. Louis, and I thought he was a really good role player. And they were always close but no cigar in St. Louis. But I got to say, I've always had a lot of respect for Troy Brouwer as a player, as a role player. But, you know, what happens, we've seen this time and time again, Rob, the Flames sign him to a big money deal.
Mm-hmm.
And guys who do what he does never live up to that kind of money.
Yeah.
Right? He was overpaid. And, you know, I'll make this analogy, Rob. If Sports Illustrated came to me tomorrow and said, Spec, we're gonna pay you five times what you're making to be a long story investigative reporter, and I sign the deal, and in a year they're going to say to me, Spec, you're not such a great long story investigative reporter, because that's not what I do. I'm a daily columnist.
Yep.
I'm going to say, yeah, but you're paying me the money, so what am I supposed to say? And I think Troy Brouwer was set up for failure, and you know, he signed the deal.
Yep.
But I never thought he'd live up to that money in Calgary, and it's too bad because let's face it, he didn't deliver for the Flames. And I know Flames fans weren't happy, and I get it, and a lot of them are cheering this buyout. But you know, he kind of hit critical mass. He is a very good role player, third line guy, and somehow Calgary started paying him like a second line guy. And he's not that player, and it wasn't, frankly, likely to work. And I think history tells us that it did not work.
My assumption is he gets bought out tomorrow and the Flames move on. And just want you to react to this, that if you look at Game 82 and the roster the Flames submitted to the National Hockey League, they're now short nine players from that roster and their bench coach staff.
Yeah, no, I saw a tweet today to that effect, and there's a lot of guys gone. You know, I mean, I think I give Brad Treliving credit. He's not, you know, it's a tough business, and if he doesn't win there soon, yep, there's going to be a new GM of the Flames. That's just how it works. It's not exclusive to Calgary.
Nope.
But he's not sitting around saying, well, I signed Troy Brouwer a couple of years ago, and I'm sticking with it. He's clearly made a decision that that was a bad signing, and he's moving on. You know, he's not sticking with a bad hand. And I love the fact that he's really gone hard at that roster. He moved Dougie Hamilton. That took a lot of guts.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're going to see that they're, you know, it's got to get better in Calgary, or it's going to be someone else's turn. But what we'll never say about Brad Treliving is he didn't have the guts to take a run at that roster and take a second run at it. And he's continuing to try to get it right. I think that he's very close to getting it right. I think there's a pretty good team brewing down there in Calgary, but certainly the general manager's got some chutzpah. You got to say that.
Well, let's flip it over to the coast and just your observations on Vancouver and what has been a very interesting couple of weeks with the departure of Trevor Linden. You're watching their first round pick, Quinn Hughes, and you know he continues to press, but he's going back to Michigan. Just what are you seeing in their offseason, Spec? What are you seeing that's going on around the Canucks?
I think that general manager Jim Benning is doing everything you could ask. You know, they bring him in because he's a bird dog guy. He's a scout. And all he's done is stalk. Remember, Mike Gillis left them with nothing, right?
Yep.
I mean, they did go back for that five-year period, the last 5 years of Mike Gillis. They barely drafted anybody who played. So Benning walks in with a completely empty cupboard and has done nothing but fill it up with, frankly, high-end prospects. He's got a lot of guys coming. Pettersson and, you know, Horvat's a nice player. And listen, there's a big, long list of guys. I'm watching Quinn Hughes here, and he just had three assists today and won the game in overtime on a fabulous couple of moves and set up a guy for an empty netter. He's a really nice-looking player. So, you know, what they're complaining about in Vancouver, and I'm on Twitter, I'm reading what the fans say, they signed some veterans to some, you know, Roussel and Beagle.
Hmm.
I live in Edmonton. I watched the Oilers try to say, let's just sign get a bunch of kids and play them all. And it didn't work. You got to surround those kids with not just veterans, but veterans with some character and veterans who can bring the kids along. You can't just, they say, just play the kids. You can't just hand kids ice time. It doesn't work. I think Vancouver's doing it exactly right. And don't ask me what's going on with Trevor Linden and the ownership and stuff, because that's all up for debate. But
yeah.
I love the job Jim Benning's doing. I think he's doing an excellent job there.
What about in Edmonton? Just, a midsummer check-in. You know, nobody's happy ever when that team's not performing, especially after last year. I'm just curious about, you know, Peter Chiarelli seems, you know, the internet's a wonderful item. Every day I can read about him because somebody's writing something about him. What about the offseason?
Well, listen, their flexibility was almost nil because they've got a couple of real big contracts and they got guys signed. You know what the Oilers remind me of, Robbie?
Hmm.
They remind me of the Flames when they beat Vancouver in the first round. Was it 3 years ago?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
they had, I think we added up like a dozen guys had career years that year.
Yep.
And then the next year they fell flat, right? And all those guys didn't have career years again. Well, that to me was the Oilers of 2 years ago, the 103-point Oilers. Everybody had career years. Last year, everybody fell off. So I think you can go add a couple guys if you want. You can bring in new players if you want. To me, if the players that the Oilers have, Cam Talbot, Milan Lucic, Oscar Klefbom, who was hurt all year long, you know, I can think of three, four more guys, Chris Russell. If those guys don't get better and get back to their career average, you know, Talbot's a 919 save percentage guy. Last year he was like 905. If those guys don't come back, it doesn't matter who you add, Rob, because that's the core of your team. Those are the guys that have to get things back. And I would suggest to you, just like the Flames, who fell off after that career year, I think the Oilers will be a far better team this year. I think they'll be in the playoff race right till the end. Will they make it? I mean, come back, let's talk in March about that. But I think they got enough hockey team in Edmonton, certainly, to pursue a playoff spot right to the end. Don't you?
I do. I you know, it's hard. Again, it's that, to me, it was only 5 or 6 years ago, Mark, we'd have these conversations and go, my God, who's going to fall out of the playoffs? Nobody falls out of the playoffs. There's no spots. Now it's every year. You don't know. You know, there's a couple little. Anaheim's been pretty good about making it. LA's been pretty good about making it. But who knows with Vegas? Like, I don't know.
Who knows with Vegas? St. Louis got a lot better. That's killer good. I'm interested in the Winnipeg Jets. We talk about teams that where everybody has career years and what happens next year.
Yeah.
I will not predict to you that the Jets will make the playoffs because I followed their playoff run and I'm absolutely impressed with them. But you know what? I followed the Flames playoff run 3 years ago and I was impressed with them. And I followed the Oilers playoff run 2 years ago and I was impressed with them.
Yeah.
And both those teams couldn't match the following year. I'm interested to see how Winnipeg does it.
With Mark Spector from Sportsnet, he joins us down the Grey Eagle Resort and Casino guest hotline. You're in Kamloops watching the World Junior Showcase. I'm kind of half joking when I say this. I can't help but wonder if we're not a couple years away from a Ivan Hlinka-like situation where we have the winter IIHF World Championships, Junior Championships, and a summer tournament that's non-sanctioned.
No kidding. It is. And listen, as a guy that still plays hockey, like gear hockey, I've always been morally opposed to summer hockey, Rob.
Yeah.
I put my gear away in the shed, and I don't take it out till the calendar hits September. So to come here and be standing in hockey rinks in August is not my style. But having said that, I mean, you're looking at, you know, the 40 best U20 players in Canada that are here. Certainly the best ones the States have in Finland and Sweden. And I just showed up in town yesterday. I haven't even seen Team Canada play. They play in a couple hours. But I'll tell you what, we talked about Quinn Hughes earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Man, oh, man, I watched him play today, and he is a fabulous-looking player. He's like he's got to be one of the top picks for the Holby Baker early this season. And he is just a good-looking player. And they say his little brother Jack's even better, and he's up for the draft coming this year.
Are people into this? Spec, is Kamloops alive with all of this?
I don't know. I was at I've only seen one game here. It was a day game, and it was between U.S. and Sweden. Yeah. It was a really, really good game, but there wasn't many people here. So, you know, it's an interior town in the summertime. It's 32 degrees, and it's absolutely beautiful. There might have been as many people down at the river. I think they call it the River Walk or the River Park. Riverside Park,
right,
as there were in the stands inside a cool hockey rink. But I'm here to tell you, Rob, I'd rather be down the river than a cold hockey rink too sometimes.
Meanwhile, back at the ranch, they're just about to kick off the Hlinka Gretzky. What's the buzz up in Edmonton for that tournament?
Well, you know, it's a good question again. I mean, listen, the good thing that I wanted to hear from organizers there, they're not sitting there telling you we're going to get 10,000 even people a game, right? They're playing at a Rogers, they're going to curtain off the top half like they do for the Edmonton Oil Kings games.
Right.
And I think they're very realistic with getting, you know, 6,000 people a night or something like that.
Okay.
It's a junior hockey crowd.
Yeah.
Again, as you know, how you live in Calgary, you know, how short summers are in Alberta.
Yeah.
People aren't coming in to sit in the hockey rink a lot, but they're trying to create a bit of a hockey festival around the thing. I mean, we all know that the tournament itself is fabulous. It's the absolutely best under 18 players in the world at the thing. There will be, you know, there might be more than 15 NHL general managers there and scouts from every single NHL club. It's a big deal, this tournament. And I'm looking forward to watching my first one starting, I believe it starts Monday, right, in Edmonton?
Yeah, it does. It just, you know, I don't have an opinion one way or the other, but I was thinking about, you know, a 16-year-old Sidney Crosby at Father David Bauer, whatever that was, 15 years ago, 14 years ago, and that place was busy. I mean, Father David Bauer was sold out. It was everybody was there.
What would that have been?
Well, that wasn't. It was an inter-squad game because it was a World Junior camp. Right, it was just an inter-squad game, right?
Yeah,
you could have it at Father David Bauer. Now, how these things have all grown up into properties, right?
Well, right, Hockey Canada has gone a long ways. Listen, TSN showing 2 games a day here.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, TSN just showed the Sweden Sweden-U.S. game, and frankly, again, they were rewarded with an excellent game of hockey.
Right.
Now, how many people across Canada are sitting in the afternoon to watch junior hockey? You know, I'm not sure, but God bless them for putting it on TV, man, because if you want to watch it, you were rewarded with an excellent game today.
God bless you, sir, for the Mark Spector Golf Tournament supporting Sports Central up in Edmonton. Good job on that, pal. Appreciate this. I know it's the middle of summer, but here we are.
Ah, it's always a pleasure, Rob. You got my number. Use it whenever you want.
All right. Thanks, Beck.
All right.
Mark Spector joining us down the Grey Eagle Resort and Casino guest hotline, Calgary's ultimate entertainment destination at